Praise be Jesus and Mary. Today's responsorial psalm is Psalm 23, which is the Psalm of the Divine Shepherd. If you were listening to the readings, you'll have noticed that the first reading spoke of Jesus when it said this. It said, "May the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep," referring to Jesus Christ, "may he furnish you with all that is good," Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. And you'll also have noticed that at the end of the gospel, we heard St. Mark say this. He said, "When Jesus disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." Mark 6, verse 34. So the liturgy today clearly wants us to see Jesus Christ as that good shepherd described in Psalm 23. Also, as another note on the liturgical solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which we celebrate in June, and then the solemnity of Christ the King, which we celebrate in November, that Psalm 23 is again used as the responsorial psalm. So clearly, when the Church prays Psalm 23, it thinks first and foremost of Jesus Christ, who himself said in John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep." Psalm 23 speaks of God's nearness to us. It speaks of the tender care that he has for us. You know, the psalmist says this, among other things, says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me. He restores my soul." You know, interestingly enough, the previous psalm in the book of Psalms, Psalm 22, you know what that psalm speaks about? That psalm actually speaks about the distance of God, God seeming distant and far away. The psalmist cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning?" Psalm 22, verse 1. At times we do feel our Lord's presence, and we can see that the work that he's actually doing in our lives. At other times, no. At other times, we may feel abandoned by God. We may feel that our Lord's forgotten about us. You know, spiritual ups and downs are not unusual. You know, sometimes we don't sense God's presence in our life, sometimes because of negligence in prayer or in our spiritual life, or because we're neglecting other responsibilities that we have. You know, but other times, we're being faithful to those. We're being faithful to our life of prayer. We're being faithful to our work, our family life, and doing works of mercy. And yet God still seems to hide himself. Why does he do that? Well, he does that so that we can actually learn to seek him more, so that we can seek him more earnestly, more sincerely, basically so that our love for him can become purified. It's what the great Carmelite saint, St. John of the Cross, talks about when he talks about those dark nights, the dark night of the senses, and the dark night of the soul. It's the purification of the soul that searches for God. A part of growing in maturity in our walk with the Lord is realizing, one, that there are those spiritual ups and downs, and then knowing how to respond to them when we go through those different seasons. You know, something that always has to be present, you know, no matter, shall we say, what the weather's like in our soul, no matter what we're feeling on the inside, we always have to have a spirit of trust and confidence in the Lord. And I need to remind myself always that God is in charge, that he is in control of everything, and that I'm his adopted child, so that he promises that he's going to take care of me. And so if we learn to trust our Lord and to thank him for whatever condition we're in life, or whatever storm we're going through, that really is a sign of great spiritual maturity. There is peace and there is serenity in having the Lord as our shepherd, as Psalm 23 describes. Basically describes God's relationship with someone who seeks to live rightly in his eyes, someone who actually is striving for holiness. The first verse of that psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know, someone may ask, well, how is it that I make the Lord my shepherd? How do I do that? Well, first of all, you have to realize that he chose you to belong to him. That's the first thing we have to keep in mind. He chose you. He chose us. He has made you one of his sheep through the grace of baptism. Jesus says in John 15, verse 16, he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide." So God first chose us. However, we still have to cooperate with him. That means on our part, we do have to choose him. The Lord is my shepherd if I allow him to be Lord of my life, if I give him control of my life, if I obey his commandments, if I strive to follow him and to have a more intimate relationship with him. And the more the Lord becomes the center of my life, the more I'm going to be repeating those words of the psalmist, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Or, as another translation puts it, "The Lord is my shepherd, how can I lack anything? How can I lack anything?" I think the emptiness that a lot of people experience in life nowadays, I think it's due mostly to the fact that we try to fill our hearts and our lives with things that don't satisfy. In other words, we try to shepherd ourselves. I think that is a big problem. You know, the needs that we have in our heart, those needs for love, the need for significance, for security. You know, God wants us to turn to him to meet those needs. And that's why he's placed in our heart the desire or the need for those things, for love, for security, significance, even for greatness. Why? Because he wants to provide all those things for us. You know, if we try filling that hole in our heart with things which aren't God or which aren't from God, that sense of emptiness or dissatisfaction or feeling incomplete doesn't go away. It actually tends to grow even bigger. It tends to become exaggerated. And if I truly make the Lord my shepherd, he does supply for all my needs, and he supplies much, much more than that too. "My cup overflows," says the psalmist in verse 5, meaning that I can't even contain all the goodness that the Lord pours into me if I allow him to be in charge of my life. Verse 2 says this, it says, "In verdant pastures he gives me repose, beside restful waters he leads me, he refreshes my soul." In the old country, maybe even around here in some parts, you know, shepherds would bring their flocks to shady places to escape the heat of the day when it got really hot during the noonday sun. You know, the saints tell us that the pasture that Jesus brings us to, the good shepherd, the pasture is actually his church. Now, here we can even think of the church in a material, in a concrete sense. What do I mean? Well, we should see our local parish or our chapel as a place of refuge, as a place where we can go and find a moment of rest during the day, where you'll find quiet and peace, where we can unburden ourselves, unburden our hearts to the Lord. You know, often during the day or during the week, we can find quiet and peace in the church, which you won't necessarily find in the city or at work or even at home sometimes. Our Lord wants us to visit him in the church in the Blessed Sacrament, to come and say hello to him and to spend time with him, because he himself says, as we know in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest, says the Lord." So we can say that Jesus pastures us into his church through the waters of baptism, and then he even invites us to come during the week and even during the day to spend time and visit with him, to open our hearts to him, to learn to take refuge in him. And then the psalmist says, "The Lord refreshes my soul." Well, he refreshes my soul when, through those waters of baptism, as we mentioned, he cleanses me of original sin and of any other sin that I had in my life. And he actually continues to refresh my soul through the sacrament of confession, when I give him my sins and he gives me back his friendship and his grace. It does make you think about it. If our Lord were a businessman, I don't think he would be a very good businessman. Why? Because he never gains anything from any of the transactions that he has with us. You know, we're the ones who always gain from something with our interactions with our Lord. In truth, he doesn't gain anything because he's God. You know, he can't gain or lose anything. So when I go to confession, you know, I give Jesus my sins and he gives me his grace. Another example I thought of, you know, We celebrate his birthday on December 25th. You know, instead of going and buying Jesus a gift, you know, I'm usually the one who receives gifts for his birthday. I come to him during the day with my pains and sorrows and difficulties, and he restores my soul. You know, he helps me to regain a moment of sanity and a moment of tranquility so that I can continue on the right path. As the psalmist said, he guides me in the right paths for his name's sake. When the psalmist says that the Lord guides me in the right paths for his name's sake, what he's saying is that God basically takes care of me. Why? To put it in street terms, because he has a reputation to protect. He takes care of me to protect his reputation. In taking care of me, God at the same time preserves his good name. And looking at the life of Jesus, we can say that God takes care of us. He preserves us from the evil of sin, but that doesn't mean that we won't have to suffer. If Jesus and Mary suffered, and if they are my spiritual parents, so they're the models that I have to look up to and imitate, well, that means I'm going to suffer as well. But when I unite those sufferings to theirs, my sufferings actually become meritorious, just as their sufferings were. So God's good name is actually protected even when I suffer injustices. Why? Because Jesus and Mary suffered injustices too. So if I'm suffering unjustly, then I can be sure that I'm in good company. And I can be sure that God will more than pay me back for anything that I've suffered, any wrongs. Because again, he has a reputation to protect. And if we think at times that Jesus may be treating us unfairly, as I'm sure some of us do, at times my advice is to talk to his mother about that. Talk to his mother about that. She's an expert at straightening things out, and she can get things done in the right way when we present those things to her, those difficulties. The last verse we'll mention, even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil, for you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. Verse 4. So even when I feel as though I'm walking in spiritual darkness, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is absolutely still at my side. And for those of you who pray the Liturgy of the Hours, you know that the psalm for Compline on Friday, which is Psalm 88, which we prayed last night, is the psalm that of someone who feels totally and completely abandoned by God. It's actually prayed on Friday in remembrance of Jesus' passion and death on the cross. And the last line of the psalm is this, it's, "My one companion is darkness," Psalm 88, verse 18, which expresses that feeling of utter desolation that Jesus himself experienced in his human nature as he hung on the cross, and that the psalmist probably felt when he was writing those lines at the same time. So when I experience darkness in my soul, what do? I tend to think of that line from Psalm 88, but then immediately after I think of Psalm 139, which it says, when the psalmist says this, "If I say, let only the darkness cover me and the light around me be as night," he says, "Even the darkness, Lord, is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you," he says in verse 11 and 12. So when we feel that our one companion is darkness, remember that even the darkness is not dark to the Lord. And even in the difficult moments of life, we have nothing to fear if we continually entrust ourselves to the Good Shepherd. And why not entrust ourselves to him? Why not? He is all good. He's all powerful. He's all wise. He's all seeing. He's our loving, heavenly Redeemer, merciful Redeemer. And he promises that all things are going to work out for us. They're going to work for good for us. Romans 8, 28, St. Paul says that. So God's going to bring good even out of those dark moments of my life. He promises that. He promises that. Now this psalm, Psalm 23, has actually been interpreted by some as a hymn regarding the seven sacraments. How is that? Well, the sacraments were given to us by Jesus for our spiritual growth and for our nourishment. The sacraments are what even some theologians call encounters with Christ. So the Good Shepherd leads me and guides me by means of the sacraments that he has given to his church. In this case, the waters of refreshment of which the psalmist speaks of, speak of baptism, which restores my soul and cleanses it of sin. Then he talks about the path of justice, our Lord referring there to confirmation. The rod and the staff which protect and correct and comfort me refer to the sacrament of penance, where I get back on track, I get back on the right path with the Lord. And when the psalmist says that the table which the Lord prepares before me obviously refers to the Eucharist, to the banquet of the Eucharist. God's presence as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, interestingly, they'll say that that refers to the sacrament of extreme unction, the sacrament of anointing the sick in those last moments of life. And the anointing of the head, the oil, and the chalice refer to the sacrament of holy orders. And the goodness and kindness that follow me all the days of life refer to the grace given in the sacrament of matrimony. It's just another beautiful way to look at this psalm and make ourselves aware of what a great shepherd we have in Jesus Christ. He's really thought of everything. He's also given us everything, including his life, including his church, including his sacraments, and including his own precious mother. So I recommend all of you to take this psalm, Psalm 23, and if you can, even spend a week or even a month with it, meditating on it. The more we conform our thoughts and our lives to what this psalm tells us about God's character and about his care for us, really the holier and the more pleasing to God we'll become. And it wouldn't surprise me if this was Our Lady's favorite psalm. It wouldn't actually surprise me if that was the case. You know, she's even depicted in some artistic works as the Good Shepherdess, with all of her children under her mantle or with sheep around her feet that she's pastoring. So let's entrust ourselves to her as well as to the Good Shepherd, as well as to Jesus, so that one day with her by our side, we can dwell in the house of the Lord for all eternity. Praise be Jesus and Mary.